This is the Health Tips Podcast. The Health Tips Podcast is all about fitting in fitness in a busy schedule. But this time, it's hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime event when we are all in a lockdown and we are not busy, but still trying to manage our minds and bodies. Done right, we should emerge stronger and wiser from all this. This time we have four amazing achievers on the show talking about what keeps them mentally and physically fit during these strange times. Introducing our participants, I have Tina Narona. She's an architect, a model, a sports person, and a general do-it-all person. Tina is so good at everything that she sometimes gets confused as to what really is her profession. Known as India's ab queen, she's basically successful at everything she lays her hands on. Dino Moria, he was a model, now he's an entrepreneur, a director, and a producer. He made his acting debut in a TV series and also a movie debut in a movie called Pyar Mein Kabhi Kabhi. He's enthusiastic about everything that's about food and fitness. And it's the simple things in life, as you'll see in the show, that gets him to smile. Amit Joshi is super impressive. He's been a motivator and he truly lives by example. He's an insulin-dependent diabetic, but he still managed to just to get the body and the physique others probably only dream about. He's the owner at Metal Card Fitness Supplements. He's also a life coach. He's also a dreamer, a challenge lover, and a positive change maker. Purnima Bali is the associate creative director of a digital marketing firm. And really, with her colored hair and fitness obsession, she looks the part. And I'm the radio show host. I'm a public relations and communications consultant and someone who turns ideas viral. So in this lockdown, I got talking to them all and the conversation went places, even if we couldn't. And I'll begin with Tina, who is the app queen of India, and she's my co-host for today. So Tina, go for it.
Hi guys and girls, so nice to talk to you here. This is Tina and I am an architect, also fitness freak, that's why I've been called the athlete. Rocket. Purnima, you start.
Hi, I'm Purnima. I'm a creative director at an ad agency in Gurgaon. And with this situation, I think what hasn't changed is work and the pace of it. I don't think that has changed at all, but personally a lot of things have evolved and changed, so yeah, I mean it's something that we're all adapting to.
Dino.
Hi, Dino Moria, living in Mumbai from Bengaluru.
Namma Bengaluru.
Audaudu. I work in the film industry. I've acted, I have modeled, I produce now and act still, doing a couple of web series, and I dabble in various other businesses. More to do with technology. But happy to be here to share my experiences during this wonderful lockdown where we're trying to fight this goddamn virus.
And Amit.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Amit Joshi here from Delhi. I am a brand owner of a sports and nutrition brand called Metal Calf Fitness. It was incepted in New Zealand. I am also a wellness and fitness coach. And I happen to be India's fittest diabetic for 2 years in a row. And I'm very passionate about fitness and wellness in general. Very excited to be here in the group.
Wow, so all of you, I mean, you've all been really affected by the lockdown. Everyone tells us to be physically and mentally active. I mean, this is the first time which we are being probably told by our government and by people that the way you can help the country is by staying at home, you know, and not moving, strangely enough. So, Amit, you know, we'll begin with you and go around everybody. How do you manage to stay? Because I guess it's really, really critical for you. Not just it's not just an option, but it's literally life threatening if you are not physically active enough and if you don't carry on your you know, your usual schedule. So how have you managed to stay? And diabetes also probably, if I may touch a little raw nerve over here, it has a
a slight mental aspect also. You do have your mental ups and downs. So how have you managed to stay physically and mentally fit?
Okay. Thank you. You brought the diabetic topic and you pinched that nerve as well. I would like to address that so that fellow diabetics can hear me out as well. So being a diabetic, it is very crucial for you to manage your calories, because your system, because your body is not used to regulate the sugars inside. Okay. And you're dependent on insulin. Either you're dependent on insulin. For me, I'm an insulin dependent diabetic, or you're dependent on oral medication, which is usually type 2 diabetes. Now, if you're living a sedentary lifestyle, your sugars are going to go up because you're eating, you're consuming, and you're not spending, right? So it is crucial, like crucial, if for an average person, the crucial is from a point 1 to 10, maybe a 3, then for a diabetic, it's probably 15. Because you are moving towards your death slowly if you're not being active, being a diabetic, just sitting home, binge watching Netflix, and just getting in all the carbs is just going to ruin your internal organs anyway, and ruin your mindset. Because whenever your sugars are going through highs and lows, there's a depression that triggers in. Okay, and that depression is caused because of the chemicals in your body. Okay, and that you need to target, and you have to make it a point that for me, I get up with, as soon as I get up, I do at least 30 minutes of yoga. Right after yoga, I do some kind of exercise for about 30, 40 minutes. It can even be jumping the rope, you know. I jump the rope 15, 20 minutes, do 100 push-ups. I do about 100 sit-ups, and I do about 100 air squats.
100 push-ups is not normal.
Well, I did mention I was the fittest diabetic. So for me, that is my benchmark. But whatever your benchmark is, it doesn't have to be push-ups at all. It could even be just, you know...
Doesn't doing 100 push-ups really, isn't it dangerous to your sugar levels? I mean, as much as high sugar is dangerous for a diabetic, it's low sugar is also, in fact, doubly dangerous for a diabetic. So, now, you know, doing all this, you know, aerobics actually bring, if it goes to like something like 3 or 4, it's extremely dangerous.
If it's 3 or 4, you're dead.
Yeah.
So if it's 30 and below, it's alarming, right? No, now diabetes is a very dodgy disorder. It's not a disease, okay? It's just a disorder. Your house is out of order. You just need to put things in order, okay? Now, I have been an athlete most of my life. So my calorie expenditure and my metabolic rate has always been a little higher, okay? So I am used to this kind of exercise all through my life. I've been doing that. Right, and therefore my body is also used to this. So if I do 100 push-ups as opposed to a person who has not been doing any push-ups and is a diabetic, yeah, probably his sugar might just plummet. Okay, but for me it is not the case because my heart rate won't pound that fast.
So how do you analyze your sugar levels? I know you can do it by a blood test, but you know, on the go you can't keep doing blood tests.
You have to. Like, now, hear me out. In India, not everyone is privileged to do so. I'm very thankful to God and to my family that I am today in a position where I can afford buying these test strips every month by the dozens and by hundreds. Okay. But the only key to having a successful life with diabetes is regular monitoring of everything, your mindset, your body, your medication, your blood sugar levels, your reports. It's monitoring. See, I do not have that slack that everybody else has. Their body's CPU is working fine, okay? Their pancreas is working fine, so whatever crap you're getting in your system, your body's gonna make sure that it is going to metabolize it somewhere or the other. For me, I gotta manually calculate it. If I'm taking 20 grams of carb, that means I need 1 unit of insulin inside my body.
And how do you calculate your 20 grams of carbs?
That's known as carb counting. There's a big chart. You get used to it. So you look up, like, if you see what does 100 grams of boiled potato have, it will tell you that it's got 90% of carbohydrate. So depending on that carb, I have to inject insulin.
Wow.
Right? So it's a very calculated way of life, but you get used to it. Man is a creature that gets used to everything.
So, you know, going to another fitness freak who has like kind of been always on the fitness charge, Dino Moria. I guess you also are used to calculating your fitness in the same way, and probably looking at every carb that you're eating and every protein. And what's your because it's important for your life in a different way. It's critical to look fit in your lifestyle as well. So how do you manage it?
Well, here's my story. For me, fitness is more a habit right now, because ever since I was a kid, I've always been in the competitive sport. I've always been encouraged to take part in sports by my folks, my parents. My dad, I used to watch him. He used to train every day. So that's why it's a habit for me now, more than me wanting to look a certain way. Wanting to look a certain way depends on if a film needs me to look a certain way, or an ad or a web series needs me to look a certain way. Otherwise, my body type is an ectomorph, and I've always been an ectomorph. My metabolism also, because of the sports and the competitive sports I've had, has always been on the higher side. Till date, I've never actually really counted calories and watched what I've eaten. I eat everything. And I mean everything. I still play a lot of football, so I burn a hell of a lot of calories. I, in fact, find it very tough to put on weight, which is the opposite of most cases.
So all your life, you never needed to control your, in any way, you never picked up a fitness,
unfortunately, I've not had any issues where fitness is concerned or with my intake of food. I can eat a hell of a lot of food and anything. I mean, I eat dessert just about every day. I have a chocolate every day. I eat everything. I don't make a fuss in what I eat. I eat fried food,
I know for the fact that you walk the talk, because you're an entrepreneur and you do restaurants as one of your entrepreneurship things.
You gotta eat it also, You gotta make them put on weight in the restaurant, and then you create a fitness solution for them. That's business. No, but having said that, I binge on certain days, but throughout the week, most of the week, I eat home food most of the time. I'm mostly vegetarian. It's not that I don't eat non-vegetarian. Non-vegetarian is about twice a week, maybe. But I have rice and rotis and everything, where people say, no, we can't eat rice, and we're on this keto diet and that keto diet and that God knows what diet. I mean, you're supposed to have a balanced diet. So you got to have a bit of everything. You got to have some fat, some carbs, some protein, some of everything. So fortunately, I haven't had the problem. I don't really pay attention to how much I intake and how much I don't.
So what is the dish that comes on the table and Dino says, wow? And what veg dish comes on the table and Dino says, oh my God, that's Tindas again?
I love food. Yeah. Even if it's just some kali dal and parathas, I love it. I mean, dal, rice, a little sabzi and achar and ghee. Ah, it's delicious. In all my, whenever I have rice, I love to add chips. I love that fried, crunchy stuff. Instead of popper. I buy Kame wafers every day, and I mix it with my rice and my dal. So for me, and I can eat a steak, and I can eat sushi, and I can eat Lebanese with the same amount of love. So anything that's on the table,
hear the word make, guys. There's a difference between have and make. And so Dino loves to make the Lebanese as well.
I'm not a great cook, I'll be honest. I mean, I can do some eggs and that's about it. The whole preparation for me is just too time consuming. I've got other things to do. I'll play the music while it's being prepared. I'll pour the wine while it's being prepared. And I'll eat the food when it's prepared. <You see?
laughs> So from Dina to another person who exemplifies fitness, Tina, even though you're my co-host, why don't you talk about how you handled, the lockdown and still managed to keep those six-pack abs, or are they eight-pack by now?
Okay. Nice to have that question from you. Same like Dino, I love food. So much so that I can eat just about everything except the 2-3 items that I do not like, that is pineapple and radish. So when it comes to food and fitness, I was a tennis player when I was a child. I was such a tennis player that I was ranked in India. So my dad was a superhuman effort you know, you had to put that much effort, and he was a taskmaster. So everything started then, and I had to eat everything then. From 5 a.m. in the morning, I had to start eating till night, 9:30 p.m. I had to keep eating. So few parts of that have boiled down till today. Being fit and eating very, very
well. Give us a 30 second recipe on getting one more cut in those abs.
Okay, so firstly, protein shake is very, very important. When you eat vegetables, please put in broccoli, capsicum, mushroom in it with only olive oil and a little bit of chili. Apart from that, please have eggs on the side. So that is my 30 second get your abs. Eat every day.
Wow. So Purnima, you're on it in digital marketing, and you know, but you still look fabulous. So which of these few additives that Tina talked about is something which you put in your? Did you buy your broccolis last week, or have
I
you
did.
Still?
I
you
did.
Still tell us about your fitness and how you handled this entire lockdown, and how did it you know, affect you mentally and physically?
So I think I've always been a very, very active person, even though my work doesn't demand that kind of a lifestyle. But personally, I prefer living that lifestyle. I've been an athlete in school and in college, and that's always stuck. So when I say athlete, that means a lot of cardio, right? Cardio is everything to me. I mean, I may not do weights for a while, and I may not do weight training and all of those, but cardio and your heart to always be pumped and always be strong, that's something that I always focus on. So high intensity cardio workouts, circuit training, those are the kind of things I indulge in, and I like to sort of put time into that. So now that, I mean, I can't go hit the gym or go anywhere else, I have just, you know, what I've done. So I've been an athlete, I've been a dancer, and I have done martial arts. And what I've done is I've kind of combined workouts and warm-ups of all of those and created like this, you know, interesting high intensity home workout.
Is that something we can do in a lockdown?
Yes, because you don't require equipment. It's just you and your will.
So you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do this high intensity thing.
Willpower is what you need. Everything else just comes with practice. So
is it willpower to tell the guy to puncture your eyebrow and put a metal rod through it?
No, that was just teenage rage. It's been with me since like the day I got out of school. I was like, ye to karenge. So it's just been there with
me. So it just
me.
Missed your brain by a few inches. Otherwise, it would have been perfect.
My God.
Maybe it did. I don't know. We'll find out.
Great. So, you know, one thing which I really want to talk about, you know, we did hit the physical a bit. But I think this entire lockdown hits our mind a lot more. You know, maybe we start with Dino. And, you know, you've really gone through a lot in your life, Dino, you know, from starting off, I think modeling in Bangalore,
yeah.
If I'm correct,
yeah.
to movies and even your relationships are pretty much in the open.
So, yeah.
So how have you managed your mind? And you know, have you ever had to handle depression? And how have you handled that? And especially in light of the lockdown. What do you suggest to people and relationships, you know, relationships between your family members? Does it change? How do you, you know, you see the person, you know, six times an hour as compared to twice a day? How do you manage your mind?
So, you know, I feel this lockdown is a blessing in disguise for everybody. It's how they look at it, right? I think it's a time to a non-guilty holiday. You know, why I say non-guilty is because then people don't have to wake up in the morning and feel, oh God, everyone else is working, I'm not working. I think this is a great pause in everyone's life for them to sort of look back. If you've had many experiences in life already, look back. If you haven't, and if you're still really young, then to look forward as to how, you know, things have happened in your life, your experiences, how you can better yourself, how the whole world is changing right now. There's a mass energy change which is taking place. And if you realize it and understand it, and I feel this whole epidemic or pandemic is here for a reason.
You're definitely spiritual. You give me those vibes. So tell us about your spiritual side and how you got into spirituality. You've not told this to me, but I can feel it being a radio show, being a radio host. I hear voice. I hear vibes.
I read a lot, and I don't believe that everything happens by chance. I feel everything's happened for a reason. There are certain energies you give out. There are certain things you manifest in. I feel we're all connected in some way. Where everyone is connected, you know. I mean, the strangest things of you're hoping someone calls and they call. I mean, it happens to everybody. But those are the small things which are not coincidences. They're really not coincidences. These things happen for a reason. So if you look at a broader perspective and you understand the workings of the universe, you try to understand. You don't have to and you can't. It's beyond me.
So give us some techniques of understanding people that you have learned over the last many years.
Everyone has an intuition. Everybody has an intuition. You just got to tap into it a little. Sometimes we get a little intuition about people, about a certain situation, about an environment. You have to follow your gut. You feel it. But we sometimes tend to say that, you know, we shouldn't think negative. But it's your gut telling you something. It's your gut saying, hey, no, the situation is not good. Or this person is really not great. There's something shady about the person. Listen to your intuition. But then you go into it. Because when you go into your logical mind at some point, you're trying to make logic out of everything. But your gut is still telling you, no.
So you're right? Obviously into energy healing in some way. I mean, I can't figure out what, but you're probably...
I really grasp energy very easily. I can tell. It's also life experiences that I've had. I know how to tell between what's... between people. I know situations. So it's only life experiences and how open your mind is. You keep an open mind, you are more aware of surroundings and people. You just sort of open yourself up to energies. You gotta just open yourself up, I believe, more than being closed. There's some things which don't have answers, which there's something which scientifically cannot be proven. You have to give those, you can't question certain things.
Do you meditate?
You know, I tried it for some time. I play a lot of football. So that 1.5 hours of my football, I think, is pure meditation. It's absolute meditation for me. I don't need to sit down on the ground and listen to any music. You know, I do this thrice, four times a week, 1.5 hours. I'm so into that game that not a single thought comes in across my mind except for what is going on. And for me, that is meditation. So, yeah, in a way.
So Amit, you know, just because you also have to manage your mind quite strongly, being, you know, how have you seen an intentional move to manage your mind a lot more in the lockdown? Also, you know, have you had, you know, more, you had to have, do you have to manage relationships between people in your house a lot more? Has any kind of stress or strain affected that you have, lessons you've learned in this lockdown for the future?
Okay, so when we start talk about relationships, so my fiance, she's a cabin crew with Saudi Arabia, and we were supposed to get married next month. Wow. And now she's in lockdown there in Saudi Arabia, and I'm here. So of course, if you want to call it a little stressful, yes, it is. But then when you look at the larger scale of things, right? This entire fear of uncertainty around the whole world, then you reflect on your own problem and suddenly it becomes so minuscule that you say, you know, when this entire tide is going to get over, then is the time that we're going to, you know.
So how do you manage? How do you manage long distance relationships? You know, of course, you probably must be meeting physically a lot more, and the physical touch is something which can't be replaced. So how do you, you know, how has this entire time been for you? It was all of a sudden, no one expected it. It suddenly happened all over the world. So, you know, people all over the world have been left feeling a bit, just something missing from their lives. I don't know if you felt that way, how have you handled it mentally?
See, mentally, obviously, it did take a toll on me. But because I was already in a kind of a relationship where we used to meet every 15 days, yeah? And only for about 2 or 3 days. Because when you're a cabin crew and you're flying and then you have your own business here, I am also always touring for my business as well. It was kind of a long distance relationship that we were maintaining before the lockdown too. But it's just that, yes, now the relationship was coming to a very serious...
How is your being a diabetic, if I may be a little personal over here, how is your being a diabetic, has it affected your relationship in any way? Has there ever been a question about, you know, any worry in your fiance's mind, you know, because these are real things, right?
Yeah. Well, these are definitely real things. And I've been lucky that my partner does not have an issue with that. I was a diabetic when I got into a relationship with her, and she accepted me with diabetes. I didn't hide my diabetes. I don't need
but
to
you,
hide my
have
diabetes.
Have you met other people who have been affected, you know, whose mental balance or something?
I have met so many diabetics.
What is your suggestion to them? How should they explain to their, you know, partners or, you know, intended partners, or how should they manage the diabetic mind?
You know, Karanveer, what's important is not to explain to their partner. What is important is to explain to yourself and accept that first. You know, I can tell you, out of 100 diabetics, 60 to 70% are in denial. Okay, they are in denial. Okay, because why I'm saying that is because they're not taking their diabetes seriously. They're not regularly monitoring themselves. They're going to have their weekend parties. They're drinking, they're binging. They're like, you know, I have insulin, so I can, you know, just control my body, whatever it is. So if you are going to not accept it firsthand, then no one else will accept it. If you think, you know, you don't have this disorder and, you know, Ram Bharose, and it's going to happen, then the other person's going to take you equally casually and not very seriously, right? So I think it's very, please go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it's important to explain it to yourself, but I think that's easier said than done, because the question of why me is one of the first questions which happen to every diabetic or every person who gets an illness, because he sees the statistics that, you know, it's 1 in 10,000 or 1 in whatever 15,000, and then you are the one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is true. So, but although it's right now, I think there are about good 25 million people just here in India alone who are identified as diabetic. So the number is increasing, sadly so. But the battle is first inside your mind with your own self.
Because and you think you won the battle?
I have totally won the battle. I actually. For me, diabetes, just like the lockdown, is a blessing in disguise. After diabetes, I got a TV series which I starred in for 2 years. After diabetes, wow. I became the fittest diabetic in the world in India. After diabetes, I won a fitness modeling competition. So for me, I took this in my stride. Yes, for the first 3 months, I was a mess. I was in the why me. But I dug deeper and I hit rock bottom and I said, okay, man, just 2 ways from here. Either I never come up, or I just use this as a freaking launch pad and just become example. And that is what I wanted to do. And I became an example, and I'm very glad that diabetes happened to me. I'm very glad that diabetes didn't happen to one of my friends who I know can't even manage this. They are big time foodies. They are big time casual people. They cannot manage this. I'm so glad it came on me.
So, you know, that amazing. So, you know, I had, while I would love to have this conversation, you know, a lot more. And I don't, you know, it's such a strong conversation and such an interesting conversation among all of us. But, you know, I had promised Dino as well, as we have a, you know, time constraint.
Of course.
So one last question I'd like to have all of you, you know, talk in maybe just 2 minutes. What do you think in your own imagination? I know no one can really... tell us what, you know, no one can really predict the future. No one could predict these 4 weeks of lockdown. But in your imagination, for your industry and for your life, what do you think is the future, you know, in media, in acting, how do you think we'll get back to, do you think we'll ever get back? What do you think, how do you think it, in your, how do you think it will affect travel? Just your wild thoughts and your views, do you know?
Well, I think until we find a cure for this this virus, if there's no cure for this virus, then everything changes, life changes. People are already wearing masks, people are already maintaining social distance. International travel will change. You can't sit close to a person, etc. All that will happen. If they find a virus, if they find a cure, we will go back, unfortunately, to the rat race, to normal, to exactly how it was, where we were destroying this planet. That's sad. I'm trying to be optimistic and hope that everyone realizes that Earth is paused for a reason. It's healing itself. And we take notice of that and actually go back and encourage people to do good.
Great.
On the flip side, if they don't find a cure, then we are all with masks and social distancing. And I really don't know. I don't know how we're going to manage, but we will manage. But it's going to be a tough one.
Great. So I'll now go to Pune. But before that, Dino, I know you said 5:15. So in case you have to break off in the middle.
Listen, about the others and then I'll.
I'll understand, but I just like to So Purnima, how do you think, you know, you are in the best industry, actually you're best suited for this situation, being in digital and actually you know, the lifestyle, I don't think your lifestyle would change too much. So how do you think, what do you think is the future for you personally and for the world?
So digitally, I mean, everything, all of our transactions, all of our interactions definitely are going to be routed through digital. So now, while for that industry it's great, but overall as an ecosystem, the environment that we live in, I mean, as they say, the new normal, it's certainly going to change. Even if we get a vaccine, and even if we manage to control the situation in some way or the other, I believe that this has paved a way forward to a changed lifestyle overall. I mean, the way we interact with people.
How will your lifestyle, how do you think your personal lifestyle, what will you not do in the next few months or ever because of this event?
So interestingly, you know, I went to Turkey just two days before this, the work from home and the whole madness began. And I just landed and I was frisked at the airport and I was thinking I got lucky, but you know, I actually did get lucky because I don't know when I'll be able to cross borders, you know, like again, to leave the country and go visit places. Because that's definitely just travel is such an important part of everybody's way of life. You know, that's a way of getting away from your everyday. Now, every day is pretty much the same. Another point I'd like to make is, you know, we used to think that internet has brought the world together, right? To think that an epidemic or a pandemic has brought people together in ways we didn't even imagine, right?
Absolutely.
Like, there's this global sense of solidarity. Everybody sitting there in their own houses are thinking of one thing. Now, there is something, I mean, unique and strong and energetic about that. There's this, like, you know, one stream of thought. And I guess that will itself make people more conscious and more aware of how, as humanity, we need to go forward. I mean,
I totally agree with you. You know, as a side note, I'm also from from my school is the London School of Economics. I graduated from there, and I'm the head of alumni. We have 90 alumni chapters in the world, and I'm the head of Bangalore. We have chapters, you know, in the US and everywhere. And interestingly, you know, a lot of times, the Saudi heads will not speak to the Israeli heads. The Indians traditionally were not so free sometimes with the Pakistanis. The Russians heads, the Russians weren't so. But ever since this virus, everyone has a common goal and a common enemy, which has brought everyone in conversation with each other. In fact, has brought more camaraderie than I've ever seen, more conversations, more video calls than I have ever seen, in happening.
So, and there's something so beautiful about that. I mean, even though this is a catastrophe of the highest order, but humanity has known to succumb to any sort of a situation, and we will come out of this eventually. But we should all be sitting back and thinking about how we can actually change just our, you know, approach and attitude towards.
You think that will ever happen? You think we're ever going to, you know, one of the things I asked on the internet is that who is managing all the wrapping of the proposed coronavirus vaccines or the corona tests? You know, they're going to administer a few million tests. They're all going to come wrapped in cellophane. All the masks that we have to be disposed of somewhere. Do we have a plan for that?
And exactly.
We haven't got any answer as yet. No one is bothered.
No one is bothered about
where the masks will go once you wear them and throw them by the roadside, down hillocks. And when you will be driving next time to Shimla, you'll find a few thousand masks rolling down the slope or rolling in the wind.
But though I do believe the optimistic person in me, that side of me believes that people are going to be a lot more conscious than to act so, haphazardly or irresponsibly towards all of this, because now this is affecting people from all across the strata of society, right? And there is information going to the deepest level because it's important. So I feel people are going to definitely come out of this as more responsible and not be so careless, because we have literally been under house arrest for about 1.5 months. Is it worth it to go back and be again irresponsible and come back to the situation? I don't think so.
Hopefully there'll be more conversation than Ram, Muslim, Hindu and all that kind of thing that come on Arnab Goswami's channel and bug us to hell on every news, and people shouting around about, you know, CAA and who has got citizenship and who hasn't. But Tina, how has it changed your life? You know,
that conversation will take an hour if we get into that. I would love to have that.
That's just dumb, man. I don't even want to.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Fed up.
Don't want to be a part of it.
No, don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So, more important things.
Guys, I have to exit.
My roughly is construction, and yeah, it
Dino,
is a difficult.
Yeah, Dino, sure.
See you, Dino.
Great to have you. And
Dino.
Yeah.
Bye. Nice to see you. Good luck with everything, everyone.
Great. I'll send you the link. And looking forward to seeing you in Bangalore when you are here next, Dino.
I hope so. For sure, man. Yeah. Take care.
See you. Bye, Dino.
You too. Take care.
So, Dino, tell us, how your life is going to change. You know, are you going to just go on getting a few more cuts in your abs?
I'm going to be very optimistic, extremely optimistic, like the way I am. I believe that there is a vaccine that is going to come out in 10 to 14 months. I believe that up to 14 months, things are going to go in disarray. But we can, the intelligent ones and the evolved ones can bide through it. I also believe that we all have to go into eco-friendly and sustainable work, especially construction-wise. If a human can handle a set number of work, then that human does it alone or in isolation. In their own houses, they start.
Okay, all that is great in terms of good way of living. But tell somebody like Amit, you see somebody like Amit on the road, tell him three things that he should do with his life that he's not doing right now. I'm going to put you on the spot. It's an interesting spot to be.
I would tell Amit to listen to a lot of music. It brings a big smile on the face. I would ask Amit to cook food because then a full tummy is a happy mind. And
No, I mean, you have to tell him something that with the corona, the entire corona episode, since you know him well, you have to tell him something that you don't like about what he's done, and that he you have to improve him as a person.
Go on, Tina.
I want to put you on the spot.
Okay, Amit, if you are throwing anything on the street or even out.
Nobody doesn't throw anything. Amit, do you ever throw anything on the street?
No.
No, he doesn't. You have to tell him something which you have to improve him.
Yeah, so Amit, if you're not sweeping your house, you better do it immediately.
Amit, are you not sweeping your house? She has a terrible opinion about your cleanliness. I mean, your fiance is not seeing this.
Tidy. I don't think I can tell a lot of people a lot of things, because I'm sure everybody is washing their own clothes, washing their vessels. You know, washing vessels is the biggest pain ever. Anything else doesn't come close to it.
What do you think? You should be washing your vessels.
For me, it's sweeping.
Sweeping and washing your vessels for life.
I do wash the vessels, though. That's what I bargain. I tell my mom, if you sweep my floor, I'm going to do the entire utensils of the house.
So, Purnima, now your chance to tell Tina something which you have learned in this corona time, which she should do for her, you know, life, which you know, you should give some gyan to her. Like, it should be gyan which is specific to the corona, learned in the corona life. What you learned in the corona life?
I think I'll take up from what she said. She hates washing utensils. I believe it's the most therapeutic thing you can do in isolation. Just the act of cleaning something that's dirty and seeing it in front of you, that it's all clean and squeaky. I think that's another form of meditation. So just do it in the morning and then do your push-ups and you're sorted.
Okay, I will take that.
Tina, push-ups after cleaning your utensils with a Scotch Brite. That's the new form of meditation. It'll be called Scotchination, you know, meditation with Scotch Brite.
For sure. I will try that.
So with that, I mean, we have really, really, you know, run out of time, and that was a really interesting conversation with Tina, my co-host, and Purnima, Amit, and Dino. You know, thank you so much for coming on the show, and it was wonderful to have you and have all your opinion and have all the things. I hope we get back to being normal once again, but normal with a few lessons that we should learn, and we should continue, and we should not get back to the same normal that we used to, but with a new normal which would protect the planet and protect the lifestyle and protect us. And you know, God put us at the head of the pyramid of the animal kingdom for a reason, to look after the ones that were below in the animal kingdom. Unfortunately, we didn't do that, and we actually, you know, acted like a bad dictator and a bad boss who got sadistic pleasure by harming the whole animal kingdom. So hopefully we'll be like a more responsible boss, a more responsible, you know, person, and you know, we've been put in house arrest. You know, we thought we knew all the laws in the world, and we were putting all our fellow citizens in house arrest for all kinds of reasons. Well, God did it to us, and I hope we learned something from it. So Tina, Purnima, Amit, and Dino, thank you so much, and it was wonderful having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Karanveer. It was a pleasure.
Wow, so that was our conversation, full of energy and enthusiasm. The lockdown definitely can't lock down happiness or good spirit. Thank you to our panelists, Dino Moria, Amit Joshi, Purnima Bali, and to the ever-electric Tina Narona. Subscribe to the Health Tips podcast on iTunes. Keep listening. Have an idea? Reach out to us at tandurust@gmail.com. That's tandarost@gmail.com. Keep moving, stay healthy.